Your circumstances are temporal. Your problems are temporal. God's promises are eternal. God promised to do you good. In the midst of problems, God is fair. God is just. Today, our topic is very simple. Our topic is, let us honor God for who He is. In short, if God is somebody you don't know, it's hard to honor Him. I want to encourage you to develop a desire to keep growing, to know God. So today, I'd like us to look at the problem in the book of Malachi. Remember last Sunday, we talked about Malachi, the people who were discouraged, the people felt like, you don't love me. And that's why their worship was lousy. Remember last Sunday we talked about they did not believe God loves them. Therefore, they're not bringing their best to God. They're bringing their leftover. There's no passion for God. And now today, we will learn. How do you restore that kind of passion, that kind of worship that pleases God? The last verse of chapter 2, Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament that was written to prepare God's people, right? Everybody read. You have wearied the Lord with your words. You know why they keep complaining, they keep grumbling? Yet you say, how have we wearied you? Totally oblivious. That's the problem with many Christians today. Your life is off, but you don't even know it. In that you say, now notice what they're saying. Together, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. A distortion of values. When you don't know God, you distort values, you distort the truth. Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? Do you understand the situation here? They were so discouraged. Because they were so discouraged, you have to understand, you get discouraged when you see example, bad people prospering, and you see good people suffering. Has that ever entered your mind? There is no fairness. You feel like life is not fair. The challenge of everybody is, how do you think properly of who God is? Because you allow circumstances to dictate your theology. You think God is not fair because you look at your life. I do not know your problems, but some of you are discouraged. Today, I'd like you to know something. You got to know who God is. It is not based on circumstances. So the first thing you need to learn, if you look at this story here, God is not unjust. Where is the God of justice? The Bible tells us God is just. Well, this is my proof. Look at how God declared Himself when they were questioning, where is the God of justice? Can I tell you how God answered them? Well, look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Where is the God of justice? Well, here's the answer. I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. What is the Bible talking about? Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4 tells you the coming of Jesus. Right now, there may be no justice. Right now, the world may not seem fair. But God tells us the day will come when Jesus will bring justice. Let me explain. I'm going to send my messenger. This is referring to John the Baptist in the first coming. In the second coming, it will refer to Elijah. He will clear the way before me. And the Lord, definite article, not Lord, the Lord. Who is the Lord? Jesus. How do you know Jesus? Whom you seek will suddenly come to the temple. Notice, to his temple. Who owns the temple? Jesus. And that's why in the first coming of Jesus, he came before the temple was destroyed. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, he, capital H, is coming, referring to Jesus. So, what is justice? Don't worry. The Bible says God is just. He will bring justice in his time. He who can endure the day of his coming, who can stand when he appears, for he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. What is the meaning of the Messiah? Jesus is going to come and he will be like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Well, let's read the next verse. The next verse says, I am. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord. Here is what God is saying. God, whether you like it or not, is in the business of refining people. He wants to refine your character. How does God refine us? Everybody look at Hebrews. Together, they discipline us for a short time as seems best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful, painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way I know of that God refines your character, my character, is through what? Problems. You like problems? You like pain? I don't like pain. You know, God gives us people that may not always be like us. He gives you problems you may not like because God wants you to turn to him. Many of us have wrong thinking. That is what's happening to Israel. Wrong thinking about God. They are so discouraged. With all our problems, Lord, we came back from Babylon. Look at us. We are still poor. Where are you, God? Do you notice when you have problems, you question God? Yes or no? Right. Let me now tell you something. You got to think right. You see, God does not promise that while you're on this earth, a comfortable life. You know, God will sacrifice your comfort to sanctify your spiritual life. You know why? Now, this is the secret. The reason why Malachi is talking about the future is simply this. You are not meant just to live in this world. God has all eternity to make up for all your pain and suffering. God has all the time in the world, in the universe. God has all eternity to make it right for you and for me. My friend, your circumstances are temporal. Your problems are temporal. God's promises are eternal. God promised to do you good. In the meantime, when you're hurting, I want you to turn to him. Say, Lord, I trust you. In the book of Deuteronomy, this is what God says about himself. Everybody read this together. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. God is great. The rock, he's solid, unchanging. His work is perfect. All his, not his all. All his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan is a liar. Satan tells you God is not fair. Satan tells you it's not worth it to follow God. Look at God's timetable. In the book of Acts, I want you to read Acts 17. Everybody read. God is now declaring to men, all people everywhere should repent. We should repent because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness God will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. God is going to judge the world through Jesus. The first coming, Jesus was the Savior. The second coming, he's going to be the judge. And all of us here must understand, God's heart is for you to repent. I do not know what you need to repent of. But the Christian life is a life of repentance. You need to ask God, what is it that you want me to change so that when you come again, Lord, you will be so happy with my life. You know why? You live to please God. So God is saying, be ready. You know why? He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. That, my friend, is the idea of knowing God is just and he will make it right. He will judge someday. God is not just a God of love. God is a God of justice. Second, God is a God that is immutable, unchanging. The book of Malachi tells us that one day, okay, then I will draw near for judgment. I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, adulterers, those people who swear falsely, who oppresses the wage earners. You know what God is saying? God does not change. God says, I'm going to judge them. And he's describing who? Sinners, sorcery, witchcraft, adulterers, immoral people, liars. There are many liars today, and they are so callous. Look at the heart of God. He wants us to repent. Let's read the next verse. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. You see, God is saying, you guys have been so stubborn. I did not destroy you. But I want you to do something because God is holy. He does not change. Everybody read, return to me and I will return to you. That word return has the idea of repent. You see, there is only two directions today in your life. Listen to me. You are either walking closer to God or you are walking farther away from God. Now let me ask you, which direction are you in? Are you walking closer to God or are you walking farther away? My friend, don't deceive the Lord. He's looking at your heart. God is immutable. He does not change. He hated sin. He continues to hate sin. But you have to know his heart. Repent. Return, and I'll return to you, says the Lord. But you see, they are so callous. How shall we return? How shall we repent? You know, the book of James, the New Testament, tells us the same thing. We are to repent. But this is how James put it this way. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What he's telling you today is stop running away from me. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to be intimate with him. But God is saying, draw near to me. I'm not the one running away from you. You are the one running away from me. So draw near. You can draw near to God. How? Remember my advice, read the Bible, spend time with him, come to worship, really put him first place in your heart. Draw near to God, and what will he do? Draw near to you. That is the heart of God. And notice, how do you do that? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. Notice, the heart and actions go together, so you repent. How are they supposed to return? This is the great shock. The next verse talks about, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. How come, ladies and gentlemen, when they ask God, how shall we repent? How come God told them, stop robbing me? Have you thought about it? Because this is one sin where they are all guilty of. This is one sin where you and I don't consider it as sin. What do I mean? You see, you got to understand, God owns everything. Therefore, when you take things that is not yours, what are you doing? You are robbing. So how can you rob God? He says in tithes and offerings. What in the world does that mean? Why is God talking about money? Do you realize God spent more time in the Old Testament and the New Testament talking about money, possessions, than any other single topic? Why? Let me tell you why. Because how you deal with money is going to impact the direction of your life. Let me explain. When Paul tells Timothy about money, the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith. Notice, money is not the problem. You all need money. It is the love of money. When you put money ahead of God, you are putting your trust in money and not in God. And many of us are guilty of covetousness without knowing it. What do I mean? One of the most important lessons you need to learn to mature in Christ is understand greediness is a sin. Look at Ephesians, which you don't seldom appreciate. In Ephesians chapter 5, everybody read, "This you know with certainty, that no immoral," obvious, "impure person," "covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." God is saying, hey, this kind of people will not enter heaven. Adulterer, immoral people, impure, or covetous. Now, how many of you will tell me right now, you are willing to confess you are greedy and covetous? Raise your hand. You see, I'm guilty of greed. I'm guilty of covetousness. What is the antidote? Only one. The antidote for greed and covetousness is giving. Is giving. It is recognizing God owns everything. Some people don't understand tithes and offering. What is tithes? In simple English, tithe means 10%. That word tithe is used by God as early as the book of Genesis, before the law was given. You see, you will hear people in YouTube or in other churches, no. Tithing is Old Testament. New Testament, no more tithing. We are a new covenant people. Forget the Old Testament. Absolutely wrong. I'll share with you from the Bible why you need to understand the entire Bible. Look at Genesis, how Abraham gave a tithe. When Abraham was blessed by an amazing victory, "Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." This was Melchizedek blessing Abraham for amazing victory. You know what Abraham did? He gave him a tenth. Now, who told Abraham to give 10%? You have no 10 commandments yet. You don't have the law. Tithes precedes the law. No law yet, but people knew tithing. Look at Jacob. Jacob made a deal with God. Jacob said, "This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth." You see, this idea of tithing is as old as the book of Genesis. Oh, you will tell me, what about the New Testament? Well, let me share with you the New Testament. Are you ready? In the New Testament, let's talk about Jesus. Matthew chapter 5. Many people think when Jesus fulfilled the law, he abolished the law. My friend, Jesus never abolished the Old Testament. He never abolished the law. Do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. He fulfilled it for us. It does not mean we don't follow it anymore. Look at Matthew. Let's read. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you tight. They were so meticulous. You tight mint. You tight cumin. These are herbs. And have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. These are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You know what God is saying? What Jesus is saying? You guys, you do tithing. Great. But you are neglecting love, justice, kindness. He never abolished tithing. He said, tithing, good. But just because you tithe does not mean you abolish, you don't do the other important things. Love, kindness. What about the Apostle Paul? What did he teach about tithing? Let's find out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 16. Everybody read. Concerning the collection of the saints, do you notice? They were expected to give. I directed the churches of Galatia, plural, all the churches of Galatia. So do you also. On the first day of every week. What is the first day of every week? In the time of Jesus, Sunday. On the first day of every week, what must you do? Each of you is to put aside and save as you prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. What I'm trying to say is the early church practiced tithing. You don't see the word tithing because they practice something higher than tithing. What do I mean? Look at New Testament giving. If tithing is 10%, I call that minimum. What about New Testament? Let's find out. Look at 2 Corinthians. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which was given to the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. A beautiful wording of extreme. Paul is now talking about the churches in Macedonia. They were so poor. Notice the expression. Because of the grace of God, they did the impossible. What was the impossible? First, look at their situation. Number one, great ordeal. They had great problem. But in contrast, because of the grace of God, abundance of joy. What was their problem? Deep poverty. You know, somebody texted us this morning service, how can I give? I don't even have enough. I'm a student. My friend, you will learn something about grace giving, okay? Rich or poor, these are very poor people. Deep poverty. Contrast, overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Amazing, the contrast. Now, how did they give? There are three ways to give. Number one, you give within your ability. Brethren, next verse, I testify according to their ability. Some people give based on their ability. Praise God. But some people give beyond their ability. They gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. This, not as we had expected, they first gave themselves to the Lord. My friend, if you want to give, you must first give yourself to the Lord. You notice something in CCF. Like the Macedonian church, they were begging us with much urging to be able to give. In CCF, you'll notice something. We do not pass offering boxes. Do you notice? You have been here. Nobody ever asks you for money. Yes or no? We don't ask you for money. You know why? We just teach you. Giving is a privilege. The New Testament giving is knowing God owns everything. And because God owns everything, what must I do? The first 10% for me is not yet giving. What's my proof? Leviticus. Look at what Leviticus tells us. All the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the tree is the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The first 10% belongs to the Lord. Tithing is a reminder that God owns everything. It is to protect you. Tithing is to bless you. Because if you don't remind yourself everything you have belongs to the Lord, you will be in trouble. You'll be robbing God. So stop robbing God. First 10% belongs to whom? God. This teaching is to help you guard your heart away from materialism to a God-centered life. Because the money determines the direction of your heart. You know that verse? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you invest all your money in the stock market, I guarantee you, every day you'll be looking at the stock market report. If you invest your money in a certain thing, you will always be looking at it. For me and my wife, by the grace of God, I've invested my life. I've invested my resources. It's a privilege in the kingdom of God. So my concern is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world, that is God's department, that's not mine. My friend, do you know the last thing I want you to learn about today's message? God is a rewarder. Huh? Where do you see that in the Bible? God is a rewarder. What do we mean? Well, let's find out. Malachi chapter 3. Let's read together. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Everybody, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, what is storehouse? In the Old Testament, it's a place of worship. In the New Testament, that's my place of worship. So that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. God is asking you, test him. Wow. I thought we should not test God. It is God asking you to test him. That's why to me, I'm now telling you, God wants to bless you, my friend. Many of you are forfeiting the blessing of God because you are ignorant of God's word. God is saying, you test me. How do you test him? Everybody read this. You bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Bring your 10% to God. Minimum. I suggest more. Now test. How do you test? Everybody read. Together. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. I'm not into prosperity theology. I'm into biblical theology. You put God first. This is a promise. Look at the next verse. Look at the promise of God. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, God is saying, if you trust me, you give me your tithes, I'm going to bless you. And the way I bless you, many ways. By the way, God bless you for one reason, to bring glory to him. All the nations will call you blessed. You shall be a delightful land. God bless us to bless others. Now look at some New Testament verses. Let's look at the mouth of Jesus. Look at Luke 6, 38. Everybody read. Give, it will be given to you. That's a promise of Jesus. Give, it's a command. Always give, it will be given to you. How? They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. What Jesus is saying is simply this. Ladies and gentlemen, you can never outgive God. But give him a chance to bless you. Today, I've asked somebody to share with us how God has used them to bless others. Let's welcome Darwin and Connie.
Morning, everyone. I'm Connie, and this is my husband, Darwin Pasco. Darwin and I came to know the Lord in 2015. Back then, Darwin left me and my children for another woman, who, even if I was pregnant with my third child. It was through the kindness of an office mate who goes to CCF that made me start watching CCF videos online. I watched Pastor Peter spoke on the topic, "If God is silent, trust Him." Tears rolled from my eyes as I watched the video. I appreciated the message so much that the following Sunday, I brought my sister with me to attend the worship service. That day, I made the decision to accept Jesus as my Lord and decided to forgive my husband. I joined a D group and attended counseling sessions that became instrumental to my spiritual growth. Last thing I knew, I started praying for Darwin to get to know the Lord too.
I ran into Connie's friend one day, which was an answer to her prayer. Connie jumped at the chance to work with her so she could send me links to recorded CCF videos, recorded CCF church services. The first one I watched was "When God Seems Silent, Be Patient." It was the first time I truly heard the word of God, and it spoke to me. That same week, my mistress and I had a fight, which ended our relationship. Feeling lost, I found myself in front of the CCF building, and from then on started attending CCF services. It was the start of my walk with the Lord. I continued watching past CCF services and started pursuing Connie back. After some time, she decided to take me back. We started attending CCF worship services together, and soon, I joined a men's D group. One of the things we learned in our D group is about tithing. It was clear to us that all is the Lord's and none of what we have actually belongs to us. We understood the principle, but our obedience was tested. When Connie and I got back together, we decided to buy a condo, thinking our combined earnings would sustain us. After moving in, Connie gave birth to our third child. Then a month later, I lost my job. This left Connie as the sole breadwinner of our family. I tried working on a new startup, but with mounting expenses, we couldn't pay off our mortgages. We maxed out our credit cards by buying branded items to resell online. But it wasn't enough. Our debts mounted, so I took a job paying half my previous salary. Despite this, we never stopped tithing. There came a time when we struggled to give our tithes, but believing God would take care of us, we gave. Right after dropping the envelope in the tithe box, we received a call from a buyer who wanted all of our remaining stock in our online business. We met the buyer, got the payment, and immediately went back to bring in our tithes. Another time, when our daughter got sick, God prompted a lady in my wife's D group to give her money, even though my wife hadn't mentioned our situation. This blessing wasn't just for us. My wife felt prompted to contact an office mate whose child was also sick, and we shared what we received. After living in the condo for over a year without paying the mortgage, the bank offered us dacion en pago, clearing our debt and settling the real property tax without us knowing who paid it. In 2019, I had a heart attack and needed an angioplasty. We didn't have the money for the operation, but God promised in Isaiah 65:24, "I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Through our family and D group, God provided enough for the operation and my stay in the ICU. It was a season of mountaintop experiences with God, showing His faithfulness. Slowly but surely, our financial situation improved and we paid off all our debts. We have been debt-free for almost 5 years now.
Praise God. As it became second nature for us to tithe, the Lord started also to bless us with opportunities to bless others. There was a time when God impressed in my heart to sponsor some of my teammates to attend a True Life retreat. It was a joy to hear that in the retreat, they accepted Jesus as their Savior, and much of their confusions and longing have been answered. But what made an impact to me the most was when one shared that she was so close to committing suicide, but because of the retreat, she learned about God's love for her.
Praise God. God also gave us the privilege to be part of a pastoral care ministry where we counsel couples and share our story of God's restoration of our family. We are also blessed to be a missionary partner with the Philippine Campus Crusade for Christ, where our regular financial support helped reach communities who need to know the Lord. As steward of God's resources, we honor Him by using our financial means to further His kingdom. God's reward are not just material things. He has surrounded us with godly people who support and help us grow in faith through our D group. The greatest blessing is God Himself, as we experience His provision and presence daily.
To God
be all the glory.
This principle of God is a rewarder is found in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's read this together. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. You must believe that God is a rewarder to those who seek. Do you believe God is a rewarder?
Yes.
Louder.
Yes.
So do you seek Him?
Yes.
Put Him first. God is our rewarder. And that is why everything makes sense now if you realize God's plan for your life. Okay, as we close, I want you to look at these amazing verses in Malachi chapter 3. The Lord gave attention and heard it. A book of remembrance was written before Him. What the Bible is trying to say is this: God hears. God remembers. Whatever you guys are doing, especially if you do it for Him, God knows. People may not know, but God knows. And you know what gives God a very soft spot in His heart? Those who fear, those who reverence the Lord, and those who esteem His name. You do everything for God's glory. And then, here's the promise. You will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. Someday, the world will be divided into two kinds of people: those who serve God and those who don't serve God. To serve Him means you do everything for His glory. You do everything to expand His kingdom. God sees your heart. So, ladies and gentlemen, how do you honor God? Honor God for who He is. What can you learn today about God? He is just. You can trust Him completely. He is what? Immutable. God does not change. You can trust Him completely. What else can you learn about God? God owns everything. And what else can you learn about Him? God is a rewarder. Ladies and gentlemen, has God been good to you? Today, as I close in prayer, I want you to give your heart to the Lord. Is that okay with you? I want you to be open to Him and ask Him to receive your heart completely. Not just your tithes, your whole life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God in heaven, It is your desire for us to honor you. But as we honor you, it's your desire to bless us even more. So I now pray for everybody here whose heart has been touched by your goodness. You gave your all. You did not give us 10%. You gave your entire life. So Lord, help us to reciprocate by giving you our all also. Lord God, I now pray for those men and women whose hearts are open to you today. They are raising their hands. They mean business. Lord, as they give their heart to you, as they give their lives to you, Jesus, show them that you will distinguish someday those who love you, those who don't love you, those who esteem your name, those who don't esteem your name, those who serve you versus those who don't serve you, the righteous and the unrighteous. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are so kind and so good to us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.